Luke chapter 16, and we'll begin at verse number 10. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're picking it up. These verses pick up towards the end of a parable that Jesus told about a steward who was cooking the books and embezzling from his master and very cunning, very crafty and creative in the ways that he was operating in that system. And as we've mentioned many times before, when Jesus would tell these stories, he was trying to draw people into thinking and pondering and considering and discussing. And because as we do that, as we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, it opens up an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come alongside and begin to speak to us and to reveal things to us and ultimately show us the mysteries of our Father's kingdom. Now, we've taught on these things in the past. I'm not going to try to go back into all the verses tonight, but one of the things that we see in Scripture is that God wants to promote you. And the Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the north, the south, or the east, or the west, but it comes from God. And it's God's desire to promote you. The Bible says, humble yourself under His mighty hand, and He will exalt you in due time. And that word exalt means to raise you up to a place of dignity and soundness and prosperity. And, of course, that is God promoting His people, God promoting His children. Now, an in-depth study of the Scripture, we find that while it's God's desire to promote everyone, He's unable to promote us like He desires to promote us, not because he's unwilling, it's because we're not ready. We're not ready for the promotion. And so think of it in terms of God's ability to trust you with more responsibility, with more resources, with more understanding. Amen. Because we'll be judged one day based upon what we've done or what we did. And in this case, present hence, what we are doing with what we've been given. Amen. Father's not going to give you things that you're not prepared to do anything with, because once He gives you those things, you become accountable. And so there's a whole system that God oversees, and He's a just God. But know that God is wanting to promote you. And one of the key things that He's looking for is that we be found faithful. And when it says be found faithful, that means that we get caught being faithful. See, we think that God's trying to catch us doing something wrong so He can punish us. No, He's trying to catch you doing something right so He can reward you. Amen. So He says that the key thing for a steward is that they be found faithful. Another way that we've talked about in the course of our study about being found faithful is that we demonstrate faithfulness. It's something that we demonstrate. It's more than just an attitude in the heart. We need a faithful heart. We need an attitude of faithfulness in our heart, but it also then needs to translate into how we live our daily lives. And so when Jesus delivers parables like He's delivering to us in Luke 16, He's giving us insight. And there are all kinds of parables where Jesus teaches us about promotion and how to be promoted and characteristics and attributes that He's wanting to help develop and cultivate within us that will prepare us for more and more responsibility and to be trusted with more and more as we move through and progress through our lives. So let's go to this Luke chapter 16, verse 10. It says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. So do you see how when Father God is evaluating our trustworthiness, he doesn't just look at what you do with the big things. He looks at what you do with the little things. And I know that almost sounds backwards, but there are many things in God's kingdom that are backwards to this way of worlds, this world's way of doing things. But as we've explained before, sometimes people will get really excited and really motivated and put in the hours when it's something big and important, but not give a second thought to everyday things that really to them in their estimation aren't that big of a deal. So Father's not just looking for what you do in big moments. He's not just looking to see if you will rise to the occasion. Because stewardship is more than just rising to the occasion when there's a lot on the line. Stewardship is about a daily walk and attention, if you will, to the little things. So he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. And so think of unjust here as not doing what's right. So what he's saying here is if you won't do what's right with the things that don't seem to be that important or that don't seem to carry that much weight or that don't seem to have that much of a bearing on other things, he says that's a telltale sign that you won't be faithful. Listen to me, I'm going to put this in here. You won't be faithful in the long run in that which is much. Yes. Again, rising to the occasion is when we might step out of character and do whatever we got to do in the moment. But unless we have established that daily faithfulness, we don't have the fortitude to sustain what we might put forth in the moment, you know, to rise to the occasion. Are you with me? Okay. So he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, so notice now he went from a broad principle, a universal principle, but now he's putting some practicality to it. He's giving us an example. And he says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, and of course he's talking about money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And of course, true riches are talking about things that money can't buy, that Father God has to give. Verse 12, and if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? So we see three areas here that Father God is wanting to see and to find us faithful. Faithful in what is least, faithful in unrighteous mammon, faithful in what belongs to another man. Okay? Now, he who is faithful demonstrated trustworthiness in what is least is faithful, will demonstrate trustworthiness in much. So when we talk about that which is least, and I'm trying to do a little bit of review here, but I want to get to some other things. We're talking about not just number or quantity that's included in this, but it's also talking about rank or dignity. So remember, Jesus said in Matthew 25, how you treat the least or those who are considered the least as far as human beings are concerned, right? Jesus says that reveals your true heart towards him. Not how you respond to the popular or the wealthy or the powerful, but how you respond to the weak and to the outcast and to the marginalized and to those who are rejected. And of course, he talked about people who are sick and people who are in prison and people who need clothing and people who need food. And Jesus says, if you feed the least of these, my brethren, he says, you've done it unto me. So we talk about being faithful in that which is least. We're not just talking about if you can handle $10, you can handle $100. The net captures more than that, if you will. And then also, it's not just number or quantity or rank or dignity, but it's weight, or what we might say importance. Now, last week we said that one thing we could say about that which is least would just to say the small things. That which is least could be understood as being faithful in the small things. And we ended talking about, out of Song of Solomon in chapter 2, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. And that biblical principle there is, again, where people tend to guard against major threats to their life but ignore what they consider to be small things or insignificant things or things that are not that big of a deal compared to some larger issues in their life. Okay? Now, I want us to spend some more time on faithful in what is least. Okay? I was wanting to move on from that. I've got notes for the others that I want to get to, but I really feel like we need to spend at least one more. Are y'all good? Y'all with me? We can spend at least one more Wednesday night together on this one part right here, because this is really, really important. The more I meditate on this and pray about this and search it out in Scripture, I see that this is such an important thing. And I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show us a deeper meaning and understanding of this. Amen. Than perhaps we've found so far. Amen. Are y'all with me? Y'all good? Yes? Okay. All right. So, faithful in what is least, then, could be faithful in what most consider to be insignificant or inconsequential. And I apologize for the big words there. But if something is insignificant, I mean, it's not significant or it's not that big of a deal. And then what would be considered inconsequential, meaning something that's not really going to produce any kind of consequences down the road. In other words, we can ignore that. We can let that slide. We can let that slip because it's really not going to be any consequences that we have to deal with that will amount to anything down the road. Okay. So when he's talking about faithful in that what is least, I believe this would also then include, as we said last week, faithful in the small things. But how about this one? Faithful in the details. Faithful in the details. Now, I'm aware that some people are more detail-oriented than other people. Some people are more visionary and they focus more on the big picture and they have other people in their lives to help take care of the details. And I know that again, some people are more hardwired in one direction or the other. And of course, we know that if our natural tendency is to be more focused on the details, then we need the Lord's help to keep our eye also on the bigger picture. If we're more of a visionary and are more interested in the bigger picture and not really paying much attention to the details, then we need the Lord's help to pay attention to the details, because God is both. God is both. I think there's even a popular book, best-selling book, that says, "Don't sweat the small stuff." Anybody? And then the subtitle is, "And it's all small stuff." Well, we shouldn't worry or be stressed, and we should cast all of our care on the Lord. But details matter. Small things matter. Small stuff can be extremely important. So again, details matter. And we can't just pretend like they don't and be successful in the life that God created us to live. Along these same lines, guess what? Timing matters. And we start talking about details. Well, when we talk about details, then one of the really key elements of the details is the timing of things. Is the timing of things. The Bible says we live in the Spirit. We should also walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we should walk in step with the Spirit. Part of our growth and development in the things of God is not lagging behind where God would have us to be in our day-to-day life, and not getting too far ahead, not getting ahead of Him, but being in sync, in step with Him. And when I say timing matters, it can literally be the difference between life and death. So we start talking about details. We're talking about being where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, with the people that we're supposed to be there with, doing what we're supposed to be doing. All of these things are very specific, very precise. And if we know anything about God, we know that He is a very specific and a very precise God. So when He says that we need to be faithful in that what is least, I think this phrase on purpose includes a lot of things. And I believe one of the things that includes are things like timing. Any fishermen in the room? Any fishermen watching online? You know, you show up and there's always fish were always biting yesterday. Man, you ever show up when they're biting, right? It's timing, right? So details matter. Timing matters. Words matter. Intent matters. Not just what you do, but why you do it. A lot of people just point to what they do and think that what they do is somehow enough in the eyes of God. But there are details behind what we do that I can make a case from the Scriptures more important to God than what you actually do. God doesn't just want you to do it. He wants you to want to do it. He didn't just say, if you're obedient, you'll eat the good of the land in Isaiah 1. He said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So people want to point to what they do because that's like the big thread or the big thing in their life. It's like, hey, cut us some slack, you know. At least we did it. But faithful in the small things means not just doing the right thing, but doing it for the right reason, in the right way, at the right time. Here's a huge one. It's kind of lumped all three together. Position, assignments, and authority matter. Remember when, was it Aaron and Miriam? They came up to Moses and said, hey, I don't know who you think you are. We can hear from God just like you. Well, could they hear from God? Yes. But they were trying to put themselves on the same level as someone that God had promoted above them. Those details matter. Are you following me? Now, in the world we live in, they don't seem to matter as much as they used to. Y'all do me a favor. When you see a younger generation showing honor, would you please just, even if you don't know who they are, would you please stop and commend them for it? The enemy is trying to bring a generation to pass on planet Earth that has no honor. If a young man holds the door for someone at a restaurant or whatever, and if it's not your kid, point that out. Commend them for that. Such a polite young man. Someone's teaching you manners. Lord bless you, buddy. You know, again, see, these things matter. They matter. God is more than just to get the job done at any cost. God, the details, the motives, all of these things matter. Amen. Amen. I always feel real. It's an Amber Alert if y'all are wondering where everybody's phone's going off. Praise God. Enterprise, Alabama, so that's not us. Amen. Y'all okay? For our brothers and sisters watching overseas, we have this system in the United States where if a vulnerable child or something that is in danger, they'll let the world know about it. Amen. And hopefully that'll. So, Father, we just pray for this situation. We thank you, Lord, for protection for this child and, Lord, for a speedy resolution, Lord. And obviously, we don't live anywhere near this, but, Lord, you have ministering spirits that can resolve this situation in a moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Now watch this. We're talking about details. And somebody right now is in a position to help this child, and God's trying to say to somebody, did you see the police officer where the child was kidnapped, and he's a believer, and he was there. He wrote up the report, and he's like, pulled his police car over to the side of the road. He said, Lord, he said, this is a serious situation. This isn't just some kid that's, you know, stayed too long at the theater and their parents, you know, something's happened. He knew in his heart, and he's praying. And all of a sudden, a car drives by real slow, and the man in the car looked at him kind of funny. And the Lord said, just, he felt that, he said, no voice, he just felt something in his belly. And he went and acted on it, pulled the car over. The man was like, what are you talking about? I said, he made him open the trunk. That kid was laying right there in the trunk. The car, see, again, it matters. That's details. So position matters. We might say it this way in our common day, modern day vernacular. Stay in your lane. Your lane matters. You doing what you're supposed to be doing instead of what somebody else isn't doing or should be doing. Amen. Stay in your lane. Do what God, follow the Holy Spirit. Position matter. Assignments matter. Authority matters. The macro and the micro matter. That's, again, the big picture and the little picture. Now, what do we know about God? We know that God is a God of unimaginable scope and magnitude. I'm kind of hearing some of this tonight, and I've used some big words on you, but you understand what I mean. Are there words even big enough to communicate? He looks to and fro over the whole earth. I mean, he creates galaxies. He's a God of unimaginable scope and magnitude, but God is also a God of details and precision. Now, I want to finish up tonight, and we could spend, and maybe the Lord will lead us to spend some more time on this, but the Bible contains many examples of small actions that led to big consequences. Sometimes we don't realize what seems like insignificant action in a moment But the far-reaching effect or consequence that these things have. So do you see why? Let's go back to it, make sure we reorient. So why are we talking about this tonight? Because God is looking for people who will be faithful in what seems insignificant. Faithful in what doesn't really seem like it's that big of a deal. But sometimes what seems like such a small thing to us is actually a very big deal in the overall plan of God coming to pass here on planet Earth. Now, I know there are people who say, well, you know, God's going to do whatever God's going to do, no matter what we... But that's not true. The Bible is very clear. The Bible is very clear that God's will must be sought out, it must be understood, it must be submitted to, and it must be carried out. And this idea that everything that happens on planet Earth, good or bad, is God's will, is a lie from the pits of hell. Things happen on planet Earth every day that are not God's will. And things that God does will to happen on planet Earth do not happen every day. Just because God wants it to happen doesn't mean it's going to automatically happen. God's not willing that any should perish, but people perish without Him every day. He said to Jerusalem, He said, how many times did I want to gather you to myself like a mother hen gathers her chicks, to nurture and to protect and to provide for? He said, but it didn't happen because you were not willing. It wasn't because God didn't want to do it. He desired to do it. But they were not willing. God's will must be understood and submitted to. It must be carried out. Are you following me? And so this is why He needs people. He needs sons and daughters who will be faithful in the details, in the small things. This is such a simple example, but I want to show you some Bible examples. But I had a situation the other day. It was after class, and there was a young lady in the class that had been not challenging, but she had, you know, very vocal. Let's just say it that way. And I appreciate vocal and all that stuff. Amen. But anyway, she came up to me afterwards, and she was very appreciative that I took the time to answer her questions. And I felt prompted. I know it sounds weird, but I felt prompted. And usually, especially if I just meet somebody, especially a young lady, and it's like, you know, to be honest, she looked maybe a little too young to have children, but I just felt, and so, again, details, simple things. I said, I hope you don't mind me asking this, but do you have children? She opened up her book and pulled out two photos of her baby girl. Showed them to me. Told me the little girl's name. And then she said this. She said, I'm going to be the first mother in my family to raise their firstborn child. And when she said it, I felt the Holy Spirit. I mean, I got chill bumps all over me. Watch this now. I said to her, I said, did you feel that? And she said, feel what? I said, now I'm thinking. Because see, all this, I'm like, it's almost like this weird experience. You know, I'm like, am I going to offend this lady? You know, now she didn't feel anything. I asked her if she felt it. But I doubled down. I said, do you mean you didn't feel that when you said that? Tears welled up in her eyes. She said, I feel it every time I say it. I don't know what it is. I said, it's the Holy Spirit of God. It's the angels. Angels hearken to the voice of His word. You're making a faith declaration. Keep saying it. Write it down. This is a life-changing moment in someone's... Are you following me? Simple, so simple, yet... Details. Y'all still with me up in the house? All right, let me, praise God, I'm running out of time. Let's talk about it. I'll just try to rush through these rather quickly, okay? Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to it. He struck the rock when God told him to speak to it. Now, God's a just God. And anytime you think he's not, you need to remind yourself that he's a just God. And if you ever have for a split second thought in your mind that God's not fair, you need to cast that thought down. Because God is not only fair, he's very merciful. But this is a prime example. This is a prime example of something God told him to speak to the rock. But he was angry. And not only was he angry, if you read it carefully, and I'm not judging Moses, but he was prideful. Called the people a bunch of rebels. He said, are we going to have to give you water from this rock? You see the attitude there, right? But then we also know that in the overall scheme of things, that rock represented Jesus. Later, if you understand the consequences, Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land after leading God's people for 40 years. And he even asked God a couple of times about it, and God finally told him, he said, I told you no, don't talk to me about it no more. Again, seems insignificant, but how about anybody familiar with Achan's story? He took some clothes and coins at Jericho. Didn't seem like that big of a deal, did it? Do you realize his actions cost Israel a battle at Ai? 36 of his fellow soldiers lost their lives. And his actions brought judgment until the sin was exposed and dealt with. How about this one? Remember when Uzzah steadied the ark? He reached up and the ox stumbled and the ark. I just got to be honest with you, man. I mean, maybe the Lord would have told me, don't you dare do it, son. But if I'd have been Uzzah, it's almost a reflex action. So easy for us to, God, are you kidding me, man? This guy's just trying to do something right. But what's going on here? God gave them specific instructions on how to move the ark. And they were way off from what God told them to do. Again, details matter. Saul offered the sacrifice instead of Samuel. I mean, Samuel basically got there before he was finished. I mean, he almost said they did it together. It was such a... But it cost him being king. Man, this one right here. Phew, thank you, Jesus. Did I remind you? Did I say that God's a fair God and just God? David took a census. And 70,000 people died. Man. I'm going to go the other way. Jesus did not turn the stones into bread. This one perhaps... And I have to watch myself because I've preached on this one since I was a little kid. But Joash half-heartedly strikes the ground with arrows. Are y'all familiar with this story? Let's look at it right quick and I'll finish up here. 2 Kings chapter 13. Put it up on the screen. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. I heard Reinhard Bonnke one time say, nothing worse than a whining king. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Then he said, open the east window. Now, I know you see this, but let me just make sure. This is very specific. He didn't say open a window. He didn't say grab something. There's a broom in the corner. There's a, he's very specific on what to grab, what window to open. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. So he shoots the arrow out the window. I think one of the reasons that this story captured my attention as a young man, as a really not even a teenager yet. Anybody ever take a bow and arrow and shoot it up? And then you're like, do you run or do you stand still? You know, I mean, it's like, that wasn't too smart. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek until you have destroyed them. This is God speaking through the prophet to Joash. Then he, Elijah, said, take the arrows. So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. Now, I want you to notice what's going on here, okay? Because we see the same thing in Naaman, right? Go dip seven times in the Jordan River. I ain't gonna dip in that river. I'm a grown man. I ain't gonna do something that silly. In his mind, God was going to heal him. The prophet's going to heal him by coming out and waving his hand over the... He already had all this in his mind, right? Now God asked him to do something. He ain't doing that. It's silliness. God's looking for somebody who'll be faithful in things that seem silly. Things that don't make no sense. So I'm sure the king was like a little bit embarrassed by all of this. So he says, now take the arrows and strike the ground. And he just kind of phoned it in. He just kind of went through the motions. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. I bet Joash wanted a do-over. What do you think? But see, he wasn't found faithful. Are you seeing this? He had no idea that what he was doing in that moment was going to determine the level of success and victory that he had in the future. It all seemed so insignificant. It all seemed so foolish. It all seemed so unnecessary. It all seemed like, you know, what are we doing here? I mean, can't you just say something that prophets say and make all this go away or whatever? He wasn't interested in the details and the precision and the attitude. But notice what all this do? All of this reveal the attitude of his heart. I mean, Elisha is like, he's on his deathbed, literally. He's not feeling well. But I bet as he was saying, you know, mine's going off too, so it must be something else going on there. Praise God with that Amber Alert. But I imagine some fire coming back in Elisha when all this is happening, right? Because Elisha didn't make all this up. When the king comes to him and he's got this problem, the Holy Spirit begins to show Elisha, okay, this is what you need to do. Take the bow and arrow. You put your hand on his hands. Open the east window. Shoot the arrow. Now take the arrow. Strike the ground. What's the takeaway for you and me? We need to be found faithful because sometimes we have no idea what one seemingly insignificant Wednesday night may have to do. What one kind word, what one phone call. And so many times, listen to me now, I'm guilty of this like you are. So many times we'll feel impressed or prompted to do something, and we're like, okay, well, man, it's late. I'll do it tomorrow. No, just, again, details are not just this is what we need you to do, but this is when we need you to do it. We need you to do it now. Tomorrow may be too late. Stand with me tonight. Is this making sense to you? So, I mean, I think I've tried to cover too much in one message, but what I'm trying to, let's get back to just a very simple thing, that we be found faithful in the small things, that we be found faithful in the seemingly insignificant details, that we be found faithful in things that don't really on the surface seem to be that big of a deal or that important, but are critically important to the plan of God being carried out on the earth. I could have, and maybe I should have tonight just shared some more personal testimonies, but as simple as it may sound, broke down in the middle of nowhere in Kenya, the Lord gave me an idea to help change a tire on a car. I was tired. They had plenty of men working on it. Guys, you can relate to that. I mean, you got too many cooks in the kitchen already. Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm the Mzungu. I'm the white guy. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, and it's okay, but it, you know. They're all swarming around it, you know, and all sort of stuff. And I'm over there. I'm tired. I'm ready to get home. I hadn't seen Pam. I've been with y'all, you know. And the Lord, you know, you need to get those collar ties. Lord, my suitcase is probably the bottom one. But now watch this. That one event, 18 churches and counting, because it was that when Cornelius saw me being willing to get dirty, to get literally dirt, get in the dirt, to help fix the tire, that he said, "This is the man that I want to serve under. This is the man." I had no idea any of this was going on. It wasn't like, "Well, let me put on a show. Here I come to save the day." None of that. I almost felt like I was getting in the way by offering my thoughts. Are you following me? It seems so insignificant. But see, in the light of eternity, it was a catalyst. It was a turning point. We sometimes say the straw that broke the camel's back, like in something negative. But sometimes, you know, it's... That's what it was with some of these things in the Old Testament. It was like, man, they had already let the Philistines steal that ark. They'd already opened it and looked in it. They'd messing around with it and carrying on. They put it in the temple with, was it Dagon? And Dagon the next morning was laying flat on his face and by the ark. And, you know, it's all, you know, and sometimes it's like, okay, it's in a negative way and in a positive way. It's that one last little thing that's the tipping point. Amen. Father, we want to be found faithful in the details, Lord. Faithful in the small things, faithful in what may seem like not that big of a deal, not that important. Not, world's not going to stop spinning either way. But Lord, not just in the detail, but in the timing of the details, Father. We want to be men and women that you can count on to do what you need to be, what you need to have done. No matter how important it may seem in the moment or how silly or even insignificant or awkward or even potentially offensive. Lord, words matter. Details matter. Timing matters. And we want to be found faithful in these things, Lord. Help us, show us, teach us. Thank you for being merciful to us, Lord, for the many times that we've missed it. I know I certainly have myself. Father, I thank you that we're growing in these things to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Know that you love. Thank you for being here tonight. Good things coming to you and yours. I'll see you on Sunday, if not before, and you be blessed.